you.
Okay.
Coming next to the stage, we have, I believe this is his third time at the show. He's told some awesome stories here about having dreams about malls. That was one of my favorites of all time. He is a huge REM fan, which is something I discovered after his first story, which I love about him, so I'm always going to mention it. He is a designer, works at Designation, also a great dude. This is Mike Josey.
It's like the room inside the room inside the room. Okay. Okay. Hi, I'm Mike. I am an airline nerd. That's not an airplane nerd. They are two different things. I don't care about the mechanics of planes. The fact that they fly is like incredible. But I never wanted to be an engineer or anything. And it's not how they look. They look like giant penises. That's fantastic. I was always excited by the branding on airlines, and especially their logos. And I think that must have been one of the reasons why I kind of got into design, graphic design in the first place. But at the time, when I was a kid, it was like this thrill of something I didn't have the language to describe yet. So I lived the first few years of my life in a town called El Paso, if you've heard of it, that is thoroughly unremarkable. And it's thoroughly unremarkable airport I went to a few times. It's almost hard to remember now, but before 2001, you could actually go through a really short security line and go right up to the gate of an airport. And there was no reason not to, because that brought me closer to the airplanes and their logos. Like I said, the airport was really unremarkable. It was just a crappy place, except for a glass display case that was in the center of the main hallway. And you had to walk past that to get to all the gates and everything. I remember it so clearly because it had like 10 or 12 perfectly constructed models of different miniature airplanes. And they all had different logos on their tails and on their bodies. And they were all pointing up like they were, you know, in mid-takeoff. And they were on little plastic stands. And everybody else just walked past it, I remember, all the time. But I love that glass case. I loved it so much. I always wanted to go to it and stop at it and just like gawk at it for a long time. It was like it was waiting there for me every time. And if you'd offered me the choice between living in a house with a bed and meals or living next to that display case, it would have been really tough as a kid. And that would have been a hard life because I'm a really nervous pooer at airports. So anyway, glad we didn't do that. So one of the planes that I really, really loved the most was the logo for Pan Am. And Pan Am's logo, if you guys can picture it, was a globe. And it was white outlines on a blue globe background. It was and still is, in my opinion, one of the only airline logos to really get that capital R romanticism of flight. You can envision it traveling on that globe and seeing pretty much anything that was worth seeing in the world. It feels like it really turned airline logos from two-dimensional to three-dimensional, which when it was created in the 40s was exactly what you needed, or what airplanes needed to get people to actually leave the ground. And the funny part is that the El Paso airport didn't even have Pan Am. They just wanted to be like in the same orbit of the idea of Pan Am. And I understood that desire. Pan Am used a slogan in the 80s for their advertising that was, every country has an airline, the world has Pan Am. Which for me was like not impossible not to fall in love with. Pan Am was something like that. As a kid, I also had a little tin with a bunch of airline wings in it. Did you guys get airplane wings?
Yeah.
Little things? They are like plastic pins with the airline logo on them. They're like a replica of what pilots wear, except they're made in an even cheaper sweatshop. You get them if you go on flights and like your parents walk you up to the cockpit and say, can my child see the cockpit? That was back when they let you in the cockpit. Or ask them from like a flight attendant or somebody. And I would like get all these tins, I would just hoard them and I'd ask people to send me their wings that they would get, you know, any family members or whoever. And I would empty that tin out on my bed all the time and I would just pour through those wings. And I'd line them up in rows and I'd find new ways to organize them. I'd have like a cool logo off. But I never got Pan Am wings and I never flew in one. And I don't think anybody that I knew at the time had ever flown in one either because it was a luxury. It was something out of reach. And so all those wings from Continental and Eastern and Northwestern, all those airlines never quite had the same luster. So since then, the fate of airlines is something that I've been really drawn to more and more over the years. They rise and fall like in every other industry. Some show up out of nowhere and they claw for attention. Some get merged out of existence. That last one happens a lot because And it's a little too much for my comfort, the fact that airlines sort of disappear one day and all of a sudden they're replaced by something else. We only have four major airlines left in the United States, and that's American, United, Delta, and Southwest. Because they're what's left, they kind of get to do shitty things like raise prices for no reason, set extraneous charges, and take away each perk one by one. I'm pretty sure the budget for the plastic wings is always the first to go. And for my money, Virgin and JetBlue feel like the only ones today that truly care about giving people an experience as passengers. But Virgin's about to be swallowed up by Alaska Air, which, by the way, has a really shitty logo. I still want all these airlines to succeed because I believe in a great flying experience. I believe that that's something to really look up to. But that's kind of hard to really happen, have happen anymore. Pan Am survived until 1991 as an airline. It kind of sucks that it's only really today a fashion brand. You see it on t-shirts and handbags like NASA and Che Guevara. It's really become a symbol that's detached from any real context. So I get why Catch Me If You Can idealizes Pan Am, because it was really worthy of being idealized. It was sex appeal and good business and imagination and American skill all rolled into one. And there really is another brand that can match it, except for Tom Hanks. Every country has an actor. The world has Tom Hanks. I came along at the end of the golden age of flight. You know, I was born in 1980. And that was really the start of the technology age. You know, I remember when personal computers came along and laptops and everything. And no question, it is a lot easier today to do almost everything. In those 30-some years, we, I think, have all signed up for a big fundamental shift together. And that shift is from the question, how can I get myself to that adventure, to how can I bring that adventure to me? We chose convenience. And I'm not going to be the guy who says that's better or worse than anything. It's just different. And it makes me nostalgic, but not regretful. When you're a kid, you get to dream about this world being this other place that's going to be full of adventure. And if there's something you can see that can take you there, it's a really big deal. No matter what you do for the rest of your life, you'll still hold on to that sense of wonder and adventure. The thing will hold meaning for you alone long after the rest of the world stopped paying attention. And even as adults, we don't just want to see a thing. We want to imagine the experience around it. So that's what it means to be a nerd, to have something that unlocks that pleasure center of your brain to allow us to bring some small piece of adventure to our lives. It's kept in a glass case waiting for us to visit anytime. So thanks for letting me be an airplane nerd, an airline nerd tonight. if anybody has a line on some sweet Pan Am wings, please hit me up. Yeah.
Thank you, Mike. Mike Josie. Yeah. I swear, even before you brought it up, I was going to mention the Alaska Air logo and how exceptionally shitty it is. Because anytime I go to Seattle, I fly Southwest and they share a terminal with Alaska Air. And like, who is the dude on the side of their planes? He's creepy looking and scares me. I would never fly Alaska Air. They have like a mean like fucking like Zordon but with hair face on the side of their plane. It's not good. It's not good. I wouldn't do it. Anyway, guys, coming, that this is Eric's airplane opinion. I'll save the segment for post-production. I'll give you more details.